If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a football Friday, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. We're going to do a little quick look at all four Northwest schools, a prediction, a feeling, something to look for as all of them kick off their seasons tomorrow. And we start in Corvallis with our good friend, Angie Machado, covering Beavers, the Oregon State Beavers for a long time, owner of BeaverBlitz.com, at AngieMachado1 on Twitter. Angie, good morning to you. It's the thing you're most excited to see as Oregon State kicks off their season tomorrow at home against Idaho State.
Just new coaching staff. It's going to be fun to see kind of what Trent Bray and his staff of several former Beavers bring to the table. And as far as, you know, the team quarterback, I mean, all eyes are going to be on that quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't feel that anybody won that position outright. They're going with Jabani McCoy, but I do think we see, you know, Jabari Johnson and some Ben Golbranson potentially. And it's going to be really intriguing to see how that works. I have no fear with the defense. I think the defense is going to be solid, but that quarterback position is just so crucial on making that offense work.
Well, kind of a two-parter for you, because McCoy surprised some people. We thought it might be Johnson, maybe it was Golbranson. They named McCoy. How concrete do you think that is? Obviously, that's going to be dictated by his play, but how concrete with McCoy do you think they are, and how do you just feel about their win-loss chances? You went through on the website, the FPI that ESPN put out, 9-3. Where are you at on this crop of Beavers?
Yeah. So I think they're going to get some looks, you know, the other quarterbacks. I don't think it was a full on outright win. Hmm. Of course, you can't necessarily just say, you know, you can't put doubt in Jabani McCoy's head, though, that he's going to be looking over his shoulder. So, you know, I thought that was I thought it was super close. You couldn't really make a determination the 3 weeks of camp that I saw. So, you know, he brings some things where he can do things with his legs. He can make the throws that Gundy wants. So I'm excited to see what he does. As far as season, yes, FPI from ESPN had 9-3. I think my staff pick was 8-4. But honestly, I mean, this team has a ceiling that, you know, I think the Oregon game is the one game that you pretty much chalk up as a loss. But other than that, I see three pivotal games with Cal, Washington State, and Boise State. And I think those three games right there could go either way. They're pretty much coin flips when you're looking at them. So, you know, this team, I mean, 11-1, I think Beaver fans would be crazy excited.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, a 9-3, 8-4, I think that is really in the realm of possibility here.
Yeah, could get a good bowl invite as well. Last one for you, Angie. We love learning about new players in week one. That's the benefit of playing a bad team. They're a 4-touchdown favorite. Give me a name that maybe you think after watching fall camp that we're going to learn about tomorrow and be like, oh, this guy's pretty good.
Well, there's tons of them, right? Because there's so many transfer portal and guys missing. But I think Isaiah Chisholm, middle linebacker, is going to be a guy, young guy, has been with the team, not a transfer portal guy, but he is one that really has kind of popped. And Anthony Hankerson offensively is a guy that transferred in from Colorado. But just watching him, his body type, I think Beaver fans are going to look at him and kind of be reminded of a former Rodgers brother, just in his really low center of gravity, thick legs, and can just move the football.
Check out all our great work, BeaverBlitz.com. Angie Machado, one on Twitter. Go give her a follow. Have fun covering the season. Thanks as always, and enjoy the kickoff of college football season.
Hey, thanks. You guys, too.
There you go. Angie Machado. Good stuff from her. Let's go from Corvallis to Eugene and get the thoughts on the Ducks as they open their season tomorrow right here on The Fan, the home of the Oregon Ducks, as they take on Idaho. Ryan Clark, our good friend from The Oregonian, covering the Ducks, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. Ryan, what is the thing that you're most interested to see in the opener tomorrow against Idaho?
For me, it's, you know, what's that number on the scoreboard next to Oregon, right? And, you know, that Idaho team, you know, they're going to come in and try to put together some nice things to build on for the rest of the regular season. But for these Oregon Ducks, it's about working out the kinks from from fall camp and seeing just how high they can run it up, because they're deep, they're talented, and they've got a lot of expectations.
Well, Ryan, we went through it yesterday. I got 10-2. Dirt has 11-1, and Swag has 13-0. Swag loves him some duckies this year. Where are you ultimately? Because the new conference thing, yeah, some people put the travel. I don't think the travel's that big of a deal when you get to fly the way Oregon gets to fly. Where are you at? You're one Big Ten. Oregon with expectation. What are they this year to you?
Yeah, I mean, this program you could argue has never had higher expectations than it has going into this first season in the Big Ten. Everything Dan Lanning has talked about, all the players that they've brought in on both sides of the ball, the level of talent, the level of experience. Last year's Oregon team was very good, led by Bo Nix and Bucky Irving. That offense was dynamic, and the defense proved to be one of the better units in the country. I think this season they have an undefeated regular season, and I think that there will be highly competitive games against Ohio State. Obviously, that's a game that people in Eugene, people in Columbus, and everywhere in the country have circled a million times over on their calendar on October 12th. And that game on the road at Michigan, both of those project for me to be highly competitive, especially, you know, with how hard it'll be to play at the Big House, regardless of everything going on with the Michigan program and the step that they've sort of taken back this year from that national title team. I think there will be a couple of potentially sweaty games for Oregon on that schedule. You look at that Purdue game on short rest after the emotional high of Ohio State. That's got trap game written all over it in bold all caps. And on the road at Wisconsin, Madison's a really tough place to play. They like to jump around over there, and that's going to be a sleeper team, I think, this year in the Big Ten. So undefeated regular season is my prediction, but by no means is it going to be a cakewalk.
All right, last one for you, Ryan. I know Dan Lanning does not like to answer this question, so I'm going to ask it of you. A lot of young guys who are going to get a chance to play this weekend. Who's a player that you think maybe will be a topic of conversation on Monday that we haven't talked much about that's going to pop this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, the run game, obviously, there's a lot of talent in that backfield. A guy that showed out in the spring game who I think has an opportunity to have a big one on Saturday against Idaho is Jaden Lamar. Obviously, you know, Jordan James and Noah Whittington are leading the way in that backfield, but Lamar has a chance to break off a few big ones against Idaho. Obviously, you know, the conversation and the interest will be around what happens with Dylan Gabriel and all those weapons he's got at wide receiver. Another young guy out of that receiver group, which has a lot of talent that I think could have a big game, is Kyler Casper. They've been excited about him in camp. So, you know, a lot of depth, a lot of talent on this Oregon team, and whatever unit is in first, second, or third string, there's going to be a lot of exciting stuff to watch in that Idaho game, for
sure.
Yeah,
a lot of bodies going to play in that opener. It's the beauty of opening against Idaho. Ryan Clark covering the Ducks for the Oregonian, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Enjoy the college football season, man. Enjoy the first game, and we'll catch up again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the state of Oregon, let's go up to the state of Washington, where the Huskies talk about newness, a lot of newness, a lot of new faces in the locker room, and the coaching staff. Chris Fetters, our good friend, Dogman247, at Chris_Fetters on Twitter. Chris, I'll start where I started with the other guests. What's the one thing you're most interested to see tomorrow as Washington kicks out their season Saturday night?
Yeah, you mentioned the newness. It's exactly that. How do they assimilate all the newness that has taken place in the 8 months since they played in the national championship game against Michigan? I mean, you look at that offense and defense, the 22 starters that played against the Wolverines, Washington returns two players from that game.
Wow.
In total. The entire offense gone, either to graduation, to the NFL, or to the transfer portal. Only two starters on defense, Alfonso Tupatala, Elijah Jackson, and Elijah Jackson may not even start tomorrow night. So that will tell you the level of transition that Washington's gone through, because it's not just the players. Washington lost their entire offense. They lost their entire coaching staff as well, less than 4 days after that game against the Wolverines. So I'm very curious to see how Jed Fish is able to assimilate all that newness, all the different portal names, all the different true freshmen that have come in, all the true freshmen that he was able to keep, and all the even the portal players that he was able to keep. The starting quarterback, Will Rogers, actually was at the national championship game the Sugar Bowl for Washington. He was wearing a Washington jersey, and yet had thought, okay, as soon as Kalen DeBoer left to go to Alabama, what am I going to do? Well, Jed Fish was able to keep him at Washington, was able to bring in Damond Williams, who had signed with Arizona. That's your 1-2 quarterback right now. And again, you know, it's not just the newness in terms of the players. It's the newness with the schemes. It's the newness with how they're going to try to slice bread on offense and defense. You've got an offense that's really kind of rooted in the pro schemes of like a Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, mm-hmm. you know, those types of things. You're going to see things at the line of scrimmage that are going to happen that are so different than how Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb did it a year ago. So I'm very curious to see how Washington fans respond to that. Also very, very curious to see how Washington fans respond to the defense of Steve Belichick. You know, Bill Belichick's son, who is now Washington's defensive coordinator, came from New England, was the play caller there on defense, is now the play caller at Washington on defense. Brand new coaching staff, all new faces. I'm just very curious to see how Fish and his staff bring that all together as they've tried to do all spring and fall to see how that thing works.
It's kind of an all-encompassing thing for you. We did predictions. I had 6-6. Dirt had 7-5. Our producer, Swag, had 8-4. I don't know what a good year one is in Husky fan definition, given everything you just laid out with the restart, but how committed do you think they are to Will Rogers versus if this doesn't maybe get off to the greatest of starts after week one, they go to the young guy and try to build it the way he did last year with Noah Fifita? And what qualifies, do you think, in Husky fans' minds as good year one for Jed Fish, again, given the circumstance?
Well, I think given the circumstance, getting to a bowl game for starters should be a given. And I think you're right. I think when I saw Vegas, I think the over-under is 6.5 wins. I have 7-5, but I could very easily have 6-6 as well. I think the first four games, including that Washington State game mm-hmm. at Lumen Field on the 14th of September, which is just weird anyways. I remember for decades watching that Colorado-Colorado State game at Mile High, like game one, thinking, why in the hell is there an in-state rivalry game week one? And now it's going to be week three for Washington State. And then obviously the Oregon game taking the place of that Washington State game at the very, very end of the schedule is just as wild too. So with all those changes and everything else, you know, I really looked at those first four games as thinking, okay, these are four games that are very, very winnable. And Fish has shown that he can build a program. You know, he took over a program that gave up 70 in their in-state rivalry, when they were down at Arizona. It turned that into a 10-3 team that beat Oklahoma in their bowl game last year. So, you know, they've got an opportunity to do some stuff early. They've got games that they're easily winnable. But then starting with that Friday night Rutgers game at Rutgers in week five, that's going to be the telltale one, I really think. And then after that, they host Michigan in Seattle, guys. It's going to be completely unrecognizable. That should be a top five game in the country all year long. A rematch of the national championship game, people should be salivating. It's going to be completely unrecognizable.
Yeah.
I mean, for both teams. So just the idea that they, you know, if they can get into that meat of the schedule mm-hmm. and figure out a way to piece together a win or two, again, they've got to go to a wideout game at Penn State. They've got the Oregon game in Eugene at the end of the year. They've got SC. They got to go to Iowa, which should be a really unique game too, that I know Washington fans, old timer Washington fans that I've talked to are really excited to go see because of the Hayden Fry thing back in the day with Don James, the Rose Bowls and all that. So that should be a lot of fun. But yeah, I really think that 6-6, 7-5, I think should be probably the baseline expectation, but really after that, they're going to have to pull out some pretty interesting wins to push past that.
It's going to be fun. It all kicks off tomorrow night. Chris Fetters, our good friend, Dogman247 at Chris_Fetters on Twitter. Thanks for the time, man. Enjoy the season kicking off. I know we'll catch up again soon. We always appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Chris Fetters. Let's go from Seattle to Pullman as the Cougars open their season tomorrow.
You mentioned their early season game.
We did. They get the Huskies in a couple of weeks, 12 o'clock on the CW against Portland State. Joining us now, Jessamyn McIntyre, KJR, up in Seattle at Jessamyn McIntyre on Twitter, and also the sideline reporter for Washington State football. Jessamyn, good morning to you. What are you most interested to see tomorrow as the Cougs kick off their season?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. To be honest, I'm interested in seeing John Mateer take over the reins. And I know that there was a quarterback competition between him and Zevi Eckhaus early on, but it became very clear that he set himself apart and he was waiting patiently behind Cam Ward. He was great, great. And everybody will say this about a quarterback room, but I could see it on the sidelines. Just a great teammate and biding his time and waiting and going through the competitive process. There was no heir apparent in him when it came to his attitude. And I'm excited to see him thrive. And I think he's got the chops to do it.
Jess, I'm struggling because Washington State didn't lose as much talent as Oregon State, but we're Pack two, where it's just us. It's Oregon State, Washington State now, and we can feel how we feel about Oregon State. I'm having a hard time reading what is Washington State this year, given how it started last year and how it kind of ended. We're not the same things here. What is the expectation, or what do you think Washington State is from a win-loss perspective this season?
I think they have a lot of opportunity, specifically to set the tone this weekend. I think they could be a 10-2 team, to be honest, and that's not looking down my nose at a Mountain West schedule in any way, shape, or form. This is a competitive schedule that they have. You know, you want to say FCS and, you know, whatever you want about this, you know, the schedule that we're looking at, but setting the tone early against Portland State. Portland State has been a thorn in Washington State's side for a very long time. So week one and week two, I think, will set the landscape for this season. Texas Tech is going to be absolutely huge. I mean, it's completely sold out, and obviously the late, great Mike Leach is being inducted into the Washington State Hall of Fame that weekend. So we have two, I think, Portland State is, you know, the biggest thing. You want to say week one is the tone setter, sure, that's just your basic thing to say. But Portland State, you get that monkey off your back, and I think that they can hit the road running. Texas Tech, like we saw Washington State do against Wisconsin in the past, that really set the tone for success, you know, until you know, the bye week, and then every time the wheels came off last year. But I think that they could be a serious, serious problem for a lot of teams. Obviously, the Apple Cup, the first quarter of this season is really going to tell us a lot about their potential. And, you know, momentum is a real thing in this game, in this sport. And so, like I said, I think they have all the potential in the world to be a serious bowl team, not just some random bowl team. And considering the way that things have shuffled, as you know, as Oregon State has known as well, the bowl season could have serious implications because of the Pac-2 and where that stands. These two could actually be in a premium bowl. So I really honestly see them as a 9 or 10 win team this year.
That'd be a great season in Pullman. Jessamyn McIntyre, KJR, sideline reporter for the Cougs. They start their season tomorrow at 12 against Portland State. At Jessamyn McIntyre on Twitter. Thanks so much for the time previewing the Cougs, and enjoy the season kicking off. I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
All right. Thank you, my Beaver brethren.
There you go.
Have a good one.
Jessamyn McIntyre. As there you go. We went to all four Northwest schools.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.